This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
In economics, there are the things we think of as global, like, say, free trade, and the things we think of as personal, maybe what you do when you're noodling around on the internet. But of course, now, more than ever, it's all connected. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And this week, we have a series of stories that go big to small and back again. So let's start with one of the biggies. President Trump's recent tariffs on China and their warnings of retaliatory ones on the U.S., which leads to talk of a trade war. And usually the whole point of conflict is that there's a winner and a loser. But is that the case when it comes to a trade war? For more on this, we got Monica DeBall on the line to help us with a little trade war context. She's a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
The long and short of it is, you know, trade wars start for various reasons, but the bottom line is that there are no winners. When we economists kind of look around and try to see, you know, in the end, what was the effect, how were different economies affected and so on, the conclusion's always, you know, jobs were lost, growth was hit. And really, you can't find any evidence that anybody ends up winning in any sense of the word.
Yeah, politicians often say, well, I'm doing this to try to protect our workers or protect our industry. And, you know, we often see a series of kind of escalating tariffs. How come no one can win if that's the case? You know, if the political rhetoric is I'm doing this so we win, but you as an economist are saying, it just doesn't work like that.
Well, I think it kind of goes back to the way that trade works in the first place, right? I mean, people generally have this idea that, you know, when you trade with someone, depending on, you know, what your metric is for how you're doing with respect to this other country that you're trading with. So whether you measure it by your bilateral trade deficit or something else, there's this sense that always somebody's winning and somebody meaning that somebody else is losing. So it's kind of a what we call a zero sum game.
If there are no winners, then are the losses spread around or who are the losers here? You know, do we feel things equally?
So the losers can be very concentrated. So if we look back, for example, at a very, very recent example, so back to 2001, 2002, when we had steel tariffs under the Bush administration. We know from that particular experience, those tariffs, when they came into effect, they were supposed to be in place for 3 years. But they were actually, they were in place for, you know, much, much less than that, much less time than that. And the reason was that so many more jobs were lost in other sectors that were not directly in steel, but were either users of steel in some capacity, direct or indirect, that, you know, it just turned out that actually the losses for the economy were a lot bigger than whatever the politicians thought they would gain from instituting those tariffs in the first place. Sometimes it's not as visible. So sometimes, you know, it can be, it can be sort of seen as something that, with the benefit of hindsight, probably had a very deep impact on the economy, but it's hard to measure real time. So I'll give you an example of that.
Yeah.
Take the Smoot-Hawley Act of the 1930s, you know, a crash.
This is probably the one trade thing that you know, someone who went to civics class in middle school can name.
Exactly. And that was an event. So that was an action taken by the U.S. that created a lot of retaliation all over the world. Every single country was affected by this because the trade war was broad and wide ranging. And, you know, it hit many countries. And what now we have, I think, the ability to say when we look back, we can say with some certainty that the Great Depression was made a lot worse and probably was more prolonged as a result of the trade war that ensued from the Smoot-Hawley Act. But This isn't something, for instance, that we would have been able to observe real time. If we had, you know, if we put ourselves back in the 30s and we were trying to say something about how these things were playing out all over the world, it would have been very difficult.
You know, if we think about this war metaphor, and maybe I'm hitting it over the head a little bit, but is it possible to sort of sit on the sidelines in a situation like this, you know, be a Switzerland, or is trade so global and interconnected these days that it just doesn't work like that?
Well, that's an excellent question, because when we look at these past instances of trade wars, there are some scholars who have made the point that, you know, countries that sit them out and countries that don't participate, they end up benefiting in some ways because some trade gets diverted to them. And probably, you know, there may have been instances in the past where some of that may have been true. These days, that's very hard to see, because all countries that are actively engaged in trade are all very much interconnected. So in other words, trade doesn't happen just between two places anymore. So if you get, for instance, a trade war between the US and China, even those countries that decide to sit out and say, we're not involved in this, we're going to be Switzerland, we're going to be neutral, they will be hit, because they are involved in these supply chains and in this integrated way of production and of trading that ends up affecting them nonetheless.
Well, yeah, trade wars are, I guess, you know, they are political. And whether you say that in a cynical way or someone attempting to, you know, kind of reflect what their constituents want, what do we know about how trade wars rebound on those constituents, on consumers? You know, what happens to them in a trade war?
So ultimately, because you're going to have this situation where tariffs are being erected, non-tariff barriers are being erected as well, what happens is that there is an effect on prices, and that's measurable and that's visible. So for consumers, what they will see is prices will start to go up. They may not associate that directly with the kind of policies that are being put in place. So they may not associate that directly with protectionism, but they will feel it. So it'll make a difference in people's lives. And that's usually how it goes.
Monica de Bull is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.